The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 26 countries in the world and every state in America. The station is also licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and Sound Exchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Natalia Stiko. She's an opera and classical singer originally from Riga, Latvia, where she was a young artist and chorus member for 7 seasons with the Latvia National Opera. In 2018, she broke out as a soloist and now makes her home outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Since 2009, Nat has had over 200 performances of 30 operas in 6 countries across Europe, the Middle East, and North America, and she was recently named as a top 20 artist to follow in 2020 by both New York Weekly and the Music Observer. When away from opera houses and concert stages, this multi-hyphen mezzo is also an IT engineer working in Boston's high-tech community and an accomplished commercial model who placed as a top 2% finalist in Maxim Magazine's 2020 Worldwide Cover Girl Search.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Nat. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for gracing us. You have such a cool story. You seem very talented. You got a lot of different things going on, don't you?
Well, that's true. But like, I'll tell you the truth. I'm just the person who doesn't like sitting and not doing anything. So whenever I feel like I have a free minute, I try to explore something new. So that's why I decided to pursue both careers, as it leaves me with no free time. So that's why I am multi-talented. I would say better, I prefer not to have free time. So.
Yeah. Well, I totally get that. And it sounds like you're very busy. So what first got you going down this path?
Actually, I have been playing the piano since I was 5. And back in Europe, we have the so-called music school, so that you attend together with the elementary school. And I played pretty decent. I played pretty well, but I quickly understood that I also have a voice. But I come from the family where my parents were thinking I need a more stable major to make my living.
Sure.
So even doing my first bachelor in IT, I never stopped singing. I took lessons. I participated in master classes. I participated in small projects. Eventually, when I got this bachelor degree, I came to conclusion I still want to pursue my dream, and I entered the musical academy. And I was always keen on opera. I mean, maybe it's very strange to hear from a young girl, but since I first attended a real performance, I fell in love with this art, and I'm passionate about that still.
Okay. Starting with the piano probably gave you a huge advantage just in terms of harmony and chords and just your pitch. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's correct. And in general, I think that for any musician, it's crucial to play an instrument. You don't have to be a professional in that, but, you know, to be able to accompany yourself, especially in case you're a singer, because that's how it all starts. You understand the harmony, you hear a song, and then you start reproducing it on the piano or any other instrument. And that's how your passion becomes maybe something more, maybe just stays a passion or a hobby, but that's the way how you really kick off in this world.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been down this journey 7 years now, and when I started, I didn't know how to play an exact instrument, and the last 3-4 years I've learned how to play the piano really well.
Wow.
And like you said, it's just a complete new way of looking at things and just the complete revival of what you're doing.
Right, and I'll also add that if you play a music instrument, it broadens your horizon, and it in general makes you more intelligent. The same issue is with just simply listening to classic music. You probably have read about that, and there are many researches that say that even just listening to the classical music boosts your brain. And even back in the days when I was in my high school, so my peers who were in the college, it's called a college still, but like that's like a music high school, let's say.
Sure.
More precise. So those who play an instrument, they actually score higher on math exams. So that's a coincidence, because some of the musicians say, oh, you know, I'm not good at math, but that's weird, but like the violinists I was friends with, they scored brilliant, and they scored as good as people just starting in the high school, which had emphasis on math. So there is a direct connection, probably.
Yeah.
Either just listening to music or playing an instrument, especially.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think there's plenty of research about that. And if anyone out there has kids, I think you should definitely start them on piano when they're young.
Yeah, and I'm saying maybe not a piano, maybe an instrument. I mean, my kid, he's in the sixth grade, so he does saxophone. I mean, I can't help him at all because I don't know saxophone, but I see, I mean, I'm not putting a goal like to have a career for him. I mean, it's just for really broadening your horizon, but I see how it really develops your brain. I mean, you see, like, just because they read the scores, they understand the rhythm, and like it helps in life also. I remember also I had one gig, and so it was a person, so he had a 90-year-old birthday, and I think it was his relative there, but who was younger, so he was in his 50s, and he told me, I always hated opera, but when I heard you singing, I completely changed my mind, and I asked him, why did you hate that? And he told, oh, you know, my parents, they made me listen to the opera since I was 11. And I told, like, are you wealthy? He's like, yes. Are you intelligent? He told, yes. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that's why your parents made you listen to the opera. And that's why, like, you know, maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not, you never know. But still, there is a theory that it really helps you out. So you never know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was not wealthy. My parents owned a restaurant, but I went to a couple operas just because I always loved music when I was in college or something. And I wasn't crazy about it, but then I started going to musicals like Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis. And then I kind of came back to opera, and I had a whole new appreciation for it as I got older. I think it's something everybody should go to. I think it's a very wonderful art form.
I agree, but you really should find a good production. That's probably the milestone to get into this art form. That's why, I mean, I agree totally, but sometimes you just need to find the right one and not to be disappointed, you know what I mean?
I totally get it,
Your path is, like, you say you fell in love with that eventually, but yeah, you started from the musical. Maybe it's a good way to do it, not to start from the opera straight ahead, but like really if you switch from musical and then you go deeper, then you try to go to listen to Traviata or Carmen, which are very noticeable, and find a classical production, then yeah, then you can probably research it a little bit deeper if we fall in love with that eventually.
Yeah. So you've obviously performed a ton. Is there one performance that was the most memorable for you?
So I did lots of... So actually, I participated in 30 operas as a choir member. But the most noticeable one was actually Verdi Macbeth. And why it was noticeable? Because it was my first performance abroad. It was a guest performance in Spain, and I had to live there for 3 weeks. And during this performance, I understood that no matter what you think, either you're a soloist or a choir, like, you are important. Maybe also in this production, choir it's 70% of singing. And maybe that like influenced my whole opinion about that. Because some people think if you are in choir, you're not that important. But no, that's how I realized, even if you have this job, not mattering whether you eventually grow up to be a solo singer or not, you're still important. You're still doing what you love and what you enjoy. And you still, as a team player, you invest yourself. So you must never underestimate yourself, even if you are not like there on the front line.
Yeah. There is a definite interplay with choir. And I was in the choir, I think, 7th, 8th grade. And mm-hmm. I loved it. I wish I would have done it longer, but I ended up getting involved in the altar and doing other things. But I think there's definitely a huge advantage for people that have done the choir for a long time, too.
Right. There's actually also research I have recently read that singing in a choir boosts people's self-esteem. But it's a little bit controversial, right? Because normally for solo singers, if they are put in choir, they're like, you know, that's what I hate. But
yeah,
maybe for a person who has it as a hobby, maybe it's a way, right, how to raise the mood and how to become happier. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I also did choir when I was a child, but I can't say I was very miserable in that. It just depends on the people who are around you, and like it's the energy, and if the people are passionate about what they do, and like you have the common goals to make the music, and if you really love the music and you all together like the music, I think it's even better. Like if you find people who are have a similar mindset, that's the best which can happen to you, either in a relationship or at work, you know, probably yourself. You just need to find the people of the same mindset.
Yeah, and let's be honest, in anything you do, whether it's you know, theater or opera or choir, I mean, some people make things very much fun and some people make it a miserable experience for everybody. So I think a little bit of it is your teacher, who's there, who are your comrades that you're with. So it can go both ways, I think.
Right. And you know how I always say, if everybody was perfect, this world would probably not be interesting. You wouldn't have anybody to discuss. So yeah, people, they are different. People have different personalities, but maybe that's the part of this experience, of this journey. You will never work with the people just like you. But that's what I say. If you find people who are passionate the same as you, then that's a real happiness. And that's why you have to be very precious about those type of people if you find them on your way. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. Do you get started with melody, you know, lyrics, piano, you know, how do you get started?
So like, I can't say much about that nowadays because I'm really not a composer, but back in the days when I was a teen, probably 13, 14, yeah, I used to write music. Nothing turned out from that. Maybe, you know, someday I will be able to find these old recordings of mine. But I remember back in the days, it was some kind of an emotion which provoked me the feeling to write or to compose. And probably for some composers, it's also some kind of memory or some kind of an event which boosts them producing. So for example, for Verdi back in the days, why he produced all his genius operas? Because he actually had a very miserable life. So he lost his kids and he lost his wife. And then, yes, he remarried, but all these genius pieces were composed because he was depressed.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, I can say that when I'm totally happy, I can't really be very creative. So this creativity, it probably arises when you are in a very difficult situation in your life. And actually, that's what I heard from my fellowship composers. I actually have I can't say it's a close friend, but it's a person who I appreciate and who I honor, a composer in Latvia. And he always told me that, Nat, I can be productive only when I'm miserable. Believe it or not, maybe there is some kind of a reasonable explanation that, but I heard about something like that also about artists who paint back in the days. So only those who they were really poor, they couldn't make their living, so they just painted to, you know, like to get some to get bread, literally, and that's how they got later famous. Not like even sometimes not even recognized during their life. So the only composer who I would, I mean, I used to read about when I had to learn my, learn a role or something. So Rossini, that's the only exception. So maybe there are more, but it's just the only classical composer who comes to my mind. So he was totally happy. He was totally chill. And how he used to, so how was his composing taking place? So he used to sit in a bar and he had his scores and he used to just, you know, sit, drink with friends and also write music. So probably he's an exception, but it's also possible. But in general, yes, there has to be some kind of a misery, drama or tragedy or something for you to be productive. I don't know why, but looks like people need this, how to say, magical kick. Not very magical, but yeah, they need some kind of a traumatized event to start thinking. Otherwise, they just sit, you know, it's the comfort zone and they can't really produce anything.
It's the whole tortured artist way of thinking.
Right, yeah. And all the genius music, requiems and requiem, yeah. So, I mean, it's composed when a person isn't happy. And also, I wanted to add, so I have a good friend of mine, so she's a voice coach, so she's in the Netherlands. And she actually had even a questionnaire about what, so for singers, what music do you feel more... So what would you like to perform more, a happy song or a sad song? And you know what? 90% of singers replied a sad song. So looks like we artists are the people who really prefer these tortures and these uncertainties. Otherwise, you can't be productive. I mean, it's amazing, but yeah, maybe there is a logical explanation for that. But that's what I hear. And that's what, like, the confirmations always, they come.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Tell us a little bit about your favorite thing to do right now. Is it sing? Is it model? Like, what if you could pick one thing to do tomorrow and you had the whole day free, what would it be?
I would start by IT company to do my singing. So I would record a couple of albums. I would probably put my own production. I would master a couple of roles. Dream roles. So my dream roles are Eboli, Amneris and other Verdi. So Verdi is my favorite composer. Probably you already read it from what I was saying before. So yeah, I would just probably have a stable source of income to realize all my dreams, which I have in my head. So that's probably very brief of what I would like to do. So master the roles, stage maybe a production myself, and yeah, expose myself into business.
Yeah, okay. You know, one of the things I like to ask everyone on the show is scams. Tell us about a scam that you might have fallen for, one you've heard about, so we can protect each other.
Maybe it's a little advice for younger singers. I mean, if you apply for a competition or if you apply for a young artist program, always check who is standing behind this. And also, I would like to say I'm probably lucky because I have, so my husband, he has a little bit of intel background, so he can really say whether I should do it or not. But like, we are all intelligent human beings and we all have common sense. So make sure you make this little research if you get a weird offer or you are hesitating, because you are like being hesitated about. And that's like the first, like research a little bit. Nowadays, you have Google. You can do it in a very easy way. You don't need to be complicated. Just, you know, try to find reviews or something. And second, trust your heart. So if your intuition yells, don't do that. Listen to your intuition. So learn to listen to what your inner voice is saying. That's how I would like to say, if it makes sense.
Yeah, okay. We have a caller asking a question. Patty is asking, what brought you to this country?
I got married.
Okay.
Yes, and the funny thing, don't say that I'm a mail order bride, no, because my husband, he doesn't want even to be here, so we came back to his home country because it's because of me, and he wanted me to also have an opportunity to live in America. I mean, I'm the person who never believed in the American dream. I think it's just the country where you have to work, where you have to do your best to succeed. But for me, it's challenging to live somewhere else, to be exposed to the culture, to meet people. And I'm a person who always looks for ways to expand my comfort zone. And immigrating here was the best way to get out of my comfort zone in Europe and go towards a completely new and challenging life. That's what I would say.
Yeah, okay. Now, we're going to listen to your song here in about 2 minutes. Tell us what you want us to know about the song, what inspired it.
So it's not really my song. So it's from the Band of Brothers, the TV show. And why I chose it for performing. My husband, he's a veteran. He's the Gulf War veteran. And for me, in general, the people who protect their countries, not only America, but also back in Europe. I mean, there are real heroes for me because they sacrifice lots of things. And as I already told a little bit about sacrifice that composers make, and military people are the same way. They sacrifice a lot, like even sometimes their lives. And this theme for me is very close. Both of my grandparents, they died during World War II. And I just wanted to show my appreciation to all the sacrifices they make. And that's why I chose this song and I decided to record that.
Wonderful. So we're going to take a listen to that and then we'll come back and talk. And what you just said very much touched me because I have a song I released a few years ago called The Veteran for Veterans Day. And I totally agree with you in terms of the military and the respect we should show them. So I'm very glad to hear your comments. All right, here we go. We're going to check this out.
Shining dream of hope and love.
Well, that was an excellent song. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, Nat.
My pleasure. I hope everybody enjoyed that.
I'm sure they did.
Means very much to me and probably to all those who really have connections with the military and who have family members. I think it's very important to know that other people, they appreciate the sacrifice. And thank you for your service for those who are.
Yeah, I agree. And your vocals were very effortless, so they definitely are a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you. That took me a while to master that, let me say.
Yeah, well, you mastered
it. Didn't happen within
one day. Yeah. So what do you think in terms of, obviously, coronavirus has affected musicians pretty severely. How has it affected you, and do you have any thoughts on the matter?
I think the worst which happened to all of us is this uncertainty. And for musicians, it's very difficult to be productive and to continue bringing the art into the world when you don't know the result. I think it's not only for musicians, but it's for any person. So you must have your end goals. You must set these end goals. Then it's easier for you to keep on going. And my thoughts about what is going on now in general are just to continue enjoying it yourself and trying your best to put all that you do online and like make people familiar with that. Yes, even though we can't have concerts at venues and anything, but at least we have this World Wide Web, we have Instagram, we have the social media where we can share our music. So to keep on going and try to enjoy the process itself. I know it sounds maybe weird and it sounds unrealistic because, yes, we need to set goals. So, you know, short-term goals, long-term goals. But unfortunately, nowadays, the only thing you can do is just enjoy what you are doing, not to focus what will happen tomorrow. Try to find the music you have never performed before. So, for example, nowadays, I'm even recording some jazz compositions, which I actually have never done before. So I already mentioned that getting out of your comfort zone. So in this particular case, try to explore something new and don't be stuck with this uncertainty. So try to do something and, you know, with these baby steps, just do what you love, sing the music you enjoy, and don't think what will happen tomorrow. That's the only thing how you can keep on going. Just continuing to believe in yourself, but not waiting for some recognition. Just keep on going.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could give some advice to somebody just starting out in the field of opera, what advice would you give them?
First of all, you must love the music. So exactly, I was telling about goals, but probably it's the same thing about a beginner. I'm not the person who wants to be on the cover, right? Say like that. I'm very humble and I'm very shy. And in general, I mean, social media and publicity, it's not my strongest point. So what brings you probably is the love to music, love of music. So be passionate about what you are doing. Try to find the best singers. I'll tell you honestly, the singers of the past, they had a little bit different mindset. They were really fanatic of what they're doing. So try to find these recordings and try to listen and try to probably find the people. So for example, if you're a soprano, try to find the sopranos of the last century who were outstanding, or a bass, find basses. So just depending on your voice type. Always, and don't put an end goal, oh, I will be in La Scala in 10 years. No. You will be destined to disappointment because it will not happen that easily. So put a goal, for example, I want to master this piece. But also, I was telling about the pieces, but for example, even with Verdi, be careful because you can't sing Verdi before a certain age. So you can learn that, but don't put it out as an angle. Oh, I will be singing it on a recital. No, that's difficult. So probably your goal should be, I need to master the voice technique. I need to master probably, I need to know how to manipulate my chest voice. So put this small technique, baby steps for you to accomplish, but never put you know, I want to be a star, I want to be prima donna. No, that's not going to happen. So that's like the worst you can do is putting these unrealistic goals. If the goals are mastering something, doing some acting classes, listening to a good performance, attending maybe, nowadays we can't unfortunately go anywhere, but like maybe find a DVD of a good production. So that are your goals. But don't put a goal, I want to be a queen, because
yeah.
So better focus on the on building your technique and building and also learn languages. That's very important for a singer, because you must sing without an accent, first of all. And yes, it would be amazing if you also spoke the language you are singing. I know it's challenging, but if you have this time you can dedicate for learning a language, always do that instead of thinking, oh, I want to be a drama queen, you know. That's it.
Yeah. So Tim, another one of our listeners, is asking, do you think that anybody can learn to sing? So I think you're in a unique position to answer that. I know that me personally, vocals, I consider my biggest weakness, and I've been working on them for the last 7 years with vocal coaches and teachers. And, you know, I'd like to hear your answer to that question too.
My answer is yes. However, I love the word however, it depends on your end goal. So if your goal is, I just want to sing in tune, that's possible. But if you don't have a huge operatic voice and your end goal is to become a professional opera singer with a decent career, then no. So depending on your end goal, I would probably give you the more precise answer, but in general, yes, anybody. So that's like if I explain my thoughts in the correct way. So it's just be realistic to yourself, and if you want to master singing, find a coach who is honest with you.
Yeah,
that's also what I would recommend. Because some of the coaches, you know, it's a huge business also nowadays. So they say you unrealistic expectations. I mean, I was also in this position. But find somebody who is decent and who is a professional and just go for it. Just listen to your heart and listen to a good coach and you will have your result.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think you're right. I'll be completely frank. If you're trying to sing rock, that's very, very different than trying to sing opera.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what your career path is or what your end
right.
objective is, you got to work really hard. But yeah, they're very different skill sets for sure.
I'll tell you even honestly, if I was asked to, I mean, actually, I am often asked whether I could sing a certain song like somebody else did. I say no, because for me, it's way much more challenging and unrealistic to change my voice to sing, for example, pop, like Lady
yeah.
Gaga or like Beyonce. I don't sound like them, let's be honest. That's what I say, like, just be realistic to what you can do with your voice. Don't jump over your head. That's why I always say, if you want me to sound like Lady Gaga, no, you will not get the same sound. So love your voice and find your voice and then think what you can do with that. And also the same thing is with regarding death metal. I know it exists. I'm amazed, honestly, by what these people do, but I would never do it myself, you know?
Screaming.
Yeah, I mean, I would lose my voice, you know, if I did it for as long as they do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, give us any contact information. Where can people buy your music, stream it? And if they want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm at all the popular social media platforms. Instagram at natalia.stiko. I can spell that, but okay, it's at natalja.stiko. So that's my Instagram account. And you will have a menu where all the information about like my website and links to other sources and links to the articles I used to give interview for. And also if you use my name, my first name and last name in Amazon Music Search, in Apple Music Search, and also iHeartRadio, you will be able to find the tracks I have already there. And Spotify actually has my album, which is my first name. It's Natalia, N-A-T-A-L-J-A. So if you look for that in Spotify, you will be able to find the whole album of the opera pieces, which are very dear to me, which I enjoy performing, and which I am passionate about. And I recorded that in August. So feel free, explore. And you, if you have any questions, you can always reach out directly. I'm always answering DMs in Instagram.
Wonderful, Nat. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Sarantis. That was a real pleasure.
Oh, you're very welcome. So thank you, everyone out there, for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If anybody out there would like to be on the Songwriter Show, I just urge you to reach out to me. And I want to thank all the fans for listening. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight I'm going to leave you with a song of mine called We Accept the Love We Think We Deserve. This was a song I released a few years ago, and it's basically against domestic violence. I hope you guys enjoy it. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll join you guys again next week. Have a great night, everyone.
As the day comes to a close, another sad day come by. Wish I was on the beach in Mykonos instead of living this life. You're on the outside looking in. You ask me why I won't leave. Seems obvious to all who know me, this relationship is not for me. We accept the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes, and so we're in love the way I lost my faith after all these heartaches. It doesn't seem quite so bad to me, getting yelled at daily. I do it for reasons others just can't believe. I take the abuse so easily. I sit in motionless, I look so strange. Through the words, the bruises and the blame, my body language just doesn't change, and my reasons stay the same. We accept the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes, and so we're in love the way I lost my faith after all these heartaches. I lost my way. I lost my way. I lost my way.
you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.